Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. This morning, we are welcoming the most people back into the sanctuary we have since this pandemic started 2 years ago. And it is an absolute delight to see people here. And we also want to welcome people who are online with us this morning, because we are a full community with both people who are in person and people who are at home. And I want you to know that each and every one of you is welcome here. We welcome those in the sanctuary. We welcome those who are at home. We welcome those who are watching during the week. We welcome people who've been here, coming here decades, and we welcome people who are here for the very first time. And we do ask that everybody who's here or downstairs to turn off your phones or put them in airplane mode if you haven't. It's really important for the streaming situation. It makes it much better for people at home. And we are allowing singing this week, but we ask that you make sure your masks are on securely and don't sing super loud at this point. We're kind of easing into that singing thing, even though the numbers really, they're lower than they've been since December, so it's pretty exciting for all of us. So you're welcome here no matter who you are, who you love, or the color of your skin. You're welcome if you are joyful, or if today you're feeling grief or sorrow or despair. You are welcome whether you have faith or you don't. You are welcome because you are a beloved child of the universe. And for those who are at home, I want to let you know that there's going to be coffee hour online, as usual. So please, the link was in your order of service this morning that you got. And for people who are here, we're not serving coffee yet. We're hoping in the next few weeks that'll be happening. But you're welcome to talk to one another and just try to be careful about people's needs for distance. Different people have different needs. Different people have different ideas about what's appropriate for touching or hugging. So just, like, check in with people before you touch somebody or get too close. So, and I just want to give you all a reminder. The pledge drive is officially over. I don't actually have numbers about how that's going, but I do know a lot of people haven't pledged yet because it's always like that. So if you have not pledged yet, go find the link in your email and do your pledge. It takes like 30 seconds or something. It's really easy. So that would be great. So I start our service by lighting our chalice. Or Brad will light the chalice. The chalice is the symbol of our faith. It has a steady, warm flame. Steady, warm flame that we relight when it goes out by the warmth of each other. And may that steady light always be with all of us, guiding our way through good times and hard times. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. And you may rise, and we are going to sing Spirit of Life.
Happy Sunday, everyone. My name is Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him, and I am tickled pink to be your lay leader today on this day when it's just so awesome. So glad to be here with you. Today we have an opening reading titled Renewing Faith, A Call to Worship by Reverend Dr. David Breeden. We ask, what's the point? To renew our faith, to renew our trust, that our world is enough, that we are enough. We ask, what's the point? To remind ourselves that loving our world and each other is our way. We ask, what's the point? To renew our faith, that loving choices create a loving life.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be with you today. Today, I want to share this story with you, Love, by Matt de la Peña. I share this story with you today because we are living through times that are both full of fear and violence. And we are living through times that are full of love and hope and faith. This is Love by Matt de la Peña. In the beginning, there is light and two wide-eyed figures standing near the foot of your bed, and the sound of their voice is love. A cab driver plays love softly on his radio while you bounce in back with the bumps of the city, and everything smells new and it smells like life. Love, too, is the smell of crashing waves and a train whistling blindly in the distance, and each night the sky above your trailer turns the color of love. In a crowded concrete park, you toddle towards summer sprinklers while older kids skip rope and run up the slide, and soon you are running among them, and the echo of your laughter is love. On the night the fire alarm blares, you're pulled from sleep and whisked into the street where a quiet old lady is pointing to the sky. Stars shine long after they've flamed out, she tells you, and the shine they shine with is love. But it's not only stars that flame out, you discover. It's summers, too, and friendships and people. One day you find your family nervously huddled around the TV, but when you ask what happened, the answer was silence and shift between you and the screen. In your dream that night, you are searching for a love that seems lost. You open and close doors, lift cushions, empty old toy bins, but there is nothing. You wake with a start in the arms of a loved one who bends to your ear and whispers, "It's okay. It's okay. It's love." And in time, you learn to recognize a love overlooked, a love that wakes at dawn and rides to work on the bus, a slice of burned toast that tastes like love. And it's love in each deep crease of your grandfather's face as he lowers himself onto an overturned bucket to fish. And it's love in the rustling leaves of gnarled trees lined behind the flower fields. And it's love in the made-up stories your uncles tell in the backyards between wild horseshoe throws. And the man in rags outside the subway station plays love notes that lift into the sky like tiny beacons of light. And the face staring back at you in the mirror, this too is love. So when the time comes for you to set off on your own, heavy winds will sweep past your building and great gray clouds will congregate above. Your loved ones will stand there like puddles underneath their umbrellas, holding you tight and kissing you and wishing you luck. Let us hold tight to love and let us set it free into our wider world.
So now is the time for meditation, prayer, or reflection, as is your tradition. Dear Spirit of love and life, we are so grateful every day for all that is given to us, for the earth that we walk on, for the air that we breathe, and for the nourishment of plants and animals that feed us, for beauty and smiles and the kindness of others. We are grateful for rain, and we are grateful for sun. So much is given to us without any effort on our part. remind us to always be grateful for the gifts. We are also so angry and so sad about the brutality that people can show one another. We watch the missiles and guns as they destroy the cities and towns of human beings just like us. We are horrified. We watch as people in our country use laws to control others, curtailing and ending abortion rights, making voting difficult, and legislating against trans youth. Remind us that our pain and rage at these life and love denying actions is your pain and rage. The pain and rage of love and life against that stops it. That rage and pain is flowing through us, reminding us we are alive and able to act with love and care for justice. Give us faith that always acting for love and care make the world a kinder place where people flourish and are joyful. Let us be together in silence.
We have a quote this morning from Marcus Borg. The Hebrew word for faith in the Old Testament is emuna. You spell that E-M-O-O-N-A-H. What makes that word interesting is that it's the sound that a baby donkey makes when it's calling for its mother. To appreciate that, I did try to look it up on YouTube. You have to say emuna so that it sounds like that. Now, if you want to hear the meaning of emuna, you need to say it like braying. I sometimes, and these again, Mr. Borg's words, not mine, but it sounds like it's me. I sometimes think to myself, if you say it soft, it's almost like braying. The point being that faith in the Hebrew Bible is like a baby donkey calling out or crying for its mother. There's something kind of wonderful about that. There is an element, I don't know if you want to say, of desperation in it or not, but there certainly is an element of confidence also that the cry will be heard.
Our theme this month is renewing faith. In American culture, faith, when used in a religious sense, often has the connotation of the devout of a tradition believing in ideas that seem impossible. The word faith gets associated with the idea of believing something that is unprovable logically or scientifically. And it's just a leap, a wish or a dream into an idea about how the world and the universe works. Some Unitarian Universalists have a tendency to cringe at such ways of approaching life. Perhaps we were asked to believe such things once upon a time and it felt like nonsense to us. Or perhaps the creeds of some faiths feel like a mythology to us that doesn't open up love and life in a way that matters. They don't seem reasonable or helpful. I've had people tell me that Unitarian Universalists are not a people of faith. And it doesn't make sense in this context. I believe, however, that we are a people of faith. And that living with faith can be an inspirational and powerful way to live. But our tradition can sometimes be opaque about what we have faith in and how to grow it and how to renew it. Our principles ask us to accept one another and encourage spiritual growth and to promote a responsible search for truth and meaning. But faith can be something we forget to talk about or actively build together as a community. Most importantly, faith is not about belief. Faith is about trust. Faith means having something we trust that gives us confidence to move from the current moment into the next moment. Faith is the cry of the baby donkey asking for its mother. What do we call to when we need guidance for the next step? Consider a moment of completely non-religious faith, going to college. In educated communities, the expectation is that young adults will go to college. The faith is that college is the best way to prepare people for successful lives. Young adults and their families literally have to have this faith to make such an expensive, life-changing thing happen. It is a time of serious transition for the family when a young person becomes an adult. There is a cry to the world about what happens next, and the answer is solid, clear, and affirming. You go to college. COVID vaccines are like that, too. If we are vaccinated and boosted, we are told there is a very low chance of hospitalization or death. We cry to the world to save us and have faith that this and a KN95 mask will save us. However, it is true that college doesn't always lead to successful outcomes for people. And people who are vaccinated and boosted have died of COVID-19. Faith is always like this, slightly risky. However, if you have enough faith in something, it gives you confidence about how to decide to move into the next moment. Our tradition asks us to decide what we have faith in so that more love and life is possible in our lives and the world. What do we have faith in to make that happen? The Julian referenced in the song we just heard was the Julian of Norwich, who lived in the 14th century. She is regarded as England's greatest mystic and is revered by many today for her warm feminist theology, unheard of in her times, and very relevant today. Her times, without question, were much worse than ours. She lived during the Black Death, when the bubonic plague, a brief, ugly illness, killed one-half to two-thirds of the population in Europe. Her town was a war zone, as peasants overtook it in protest to high taxes and other injustices, and then they were defeated in that same town. Others rallied for religious reform and were burnt at the stake when Julian was alive. While not much is known about Julian's life, some believe she had been a mother who lost her family, probably in the plague. What we know for certain is that she was an anchoress, which means she was a holy woman associated with the Norwich Church, who was enclosed in a small room connected to the church and communicated to people through the bars. She was imprisoned, and she lived the majority of her life that way. When she was 30, she became very ill and had a vision of Christ, which she wrote about in two documents that we still have today. The words that she reports she heard over and over were, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manners of things shall be well." This was her faith, the thing for which she was most confident, that guided her through her days. Did she sometimes doubt that was true? We will never know. But she lived in times of serious suffering, so one can surmise she might have doubted at times. Still, she never recanted her faith. And there are reasons to have that faith. For every act of violence and hate, there are many acts of kindness and love. When fields are covered in concrete, weeds push up through the cracks. When we suffer, the presence of others offers solace. When injustice happens, people fight against it. The story of the war in Ukraine offers so many examples of the ways it is possible for people to show up in care and love in a crisis. People have the capacity for evil, but it is far outmatched by our capacity to love. That is a statement of faith, and that is my faith. So how do we as Unitarian Universalists discover our faith? It seems now during this topsy-turvy world, when we are coming out of our homes into a lull in the pandemic, and when a dreadful head-spinning war has broken out in Europe, having faith is a way to steady ourselves and find an approach to life and love that is life-giving. It is something that guides us as we decide how to be and what to do now. I have found Susan Salzberg's work on faith very helpful. Susan is one of a small group of Americans who went to India in the 1970s and brought it to study Buddhism and brought those teachings back to the United States. She is renowned as a meditation teacher and writer. She wrote a book called Faith a few years ago. The word that translates as faith in Pali, the language of Buddhist texts, is sada. Sada means literally to place the heart upon. Isn't that beautiful? The question becomes, what do we place our heart upon? We might place our heart upon something because we trust and have confidence that our heart will be safe there. Maybe we place our heart upon a loved one or a community or a way of life. We might also place our heart upon something because it is what we dream of, perhaps a world free of injustice, where people are not marginalized, or our ability to experience wonder and beauty every day. We must also place our heart upon a way of living, in community, in service, in kindness, in courage, in prayer, or in a connection to the holy. Or we might place our heart upon ideas that guide us, nonviolence, loving our neighbors as ourselves, self-compassion, listening more than speaking, or reverence for the natural world. Salzberg talks about the different phases of faith as she has witnessed them. The first she calls bright faith. We encounter bright faith when an idea or person or practice inspires us. She says during moments of bright faith, we experience confidence in ourselves about a way of being that might be possible for us as well. Our heart has called out for a new way, and in that moment, we have an answer. We have faith. This happens to me all the time. I read and listen to podcasts and books, and suddenly I glimpse a vision of a world that is possible inside myself, at WOOF, in the larger community. I feel this surge of energy and enthusiasm. This, I tell myself, is the way forward into a new world. This past year, I've been particularly drawn to the essays of Robin Wall Kimmerer in Braiding Sweetgrass. I imagine objects as verbs. I try to greet trees when I walk. I have found the work of Joanna Macy and Chris Johnstone, described in their book Active Hope, compelling. They reframe the work of creating a healed and sustainable world in ways that are so possible and so hopeful. I have been excited by the wonderful work of the UUA Commission on Institutional Change and their report, Widening the Circle of Concern. They describe steps to create a more open, loving, and diverse Unitarian Universalism that no longer centers the experience of white people, but of all people. Salzberg says that through bright faith, that bright faith is not reliable. We can become inspired by and feel confidence in new ways of approaching our life with each book we read, conversation we have, sermon or podcast we listen to. We may feel the excitement of bright faith, but ever actually grow by embracing a particular faith. Sometimes I feel that this is the way many UUs approach their faith development. We get excited and inspired by ideas or practices, and then we get excited by the next set of ideas and practices. We may move from one thing to another without settling and living from a particular idea, practice, or way of being. The second phase of faith, says Salzburg, is called verified faith. This happens when we take that bright faith and actually live it and see how it functions in our lives and in the world. For example, in recovery programs, people are asked to pray and surrender to a higher power. They are not asked to believe it will work, but are asked to practice it and see what happens. A gratitude or meditation practice are like this as well. One practices for a while and sees what happens. Does it make sense to live out this idea in practice? How does it open up one's life to more love? One could have faith that all will be well. If one lives that faith, though, how is one different than one was before one held that truth as a faith? Does one spend more time noticing what is good all around us? Does one share that? How does one deal with evil and suffering? I have a bright faith in the ideas and practices in braiding sweetgrass, active hope, and widening the circle of concern. But I don't know if it's worth having long-term faith in these practices until I do them, or we do them together. At this point, the intellectual, emotional buzz of my initial engagement with them is not verified. We undoubtedly have faith in more than one thing, but it's impossible to have every faith in everything. We have to choose which of our bright faiths that will enter our lives that we will pursue to verify. And well before that, we have to discover what we have faith in right now. What guides us when we move from one moment to the next, through good times and bad? What do we trust about life and the world? What do we place our hearts upon? Do we have faith that our consumer capitalistic society will meet our needs and those of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Do we have faith in ourselves, in our loved ones, in the Woof community, in the Portland community? We might notice when we need something, where do we turn? When we suffer, what do we do? When we want to create a kinder world, what path do we take? The answers to these questions can help us uncover and discover the faith that we are actually living. What do we trust that gives us confidence to move from the current moment into the next? Then we ask, does what we have faith in work for us? Or might there be a more nourishing faith, one that opens up more life and love and justice? Might there be something more worthy to rest one's heart upon? I have been deeply inspired by an opinion piece in the New York Times by Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker expressing his faith. Citron Walker is the rabbi of the Beth Israel Synagogue in Texas. He is the person who welcomed a stranger into the synagogue, who then pulled a gun and held him and other members of the congregation hostage for 10 hours. You might recover that. We might remember that. In his opinion piece, which was some weeks later, Citron Walker talks about the horror of those 10 hours, but he recommits to his faith in welcoming the stranger. He says that only through practices of welcoming the stranger, being curious about those different than ourselves, and practicing empathy, can we hope to end the hatred in our world. Siphon Walker is not naive, and surely he had some strong feelings of doubt. But he is committed to his faith in welcoming the stranger, which is something he is asked to have faith in as a Jew. After his ordeal, his heart called out, and the answer was that he still had faith in welcoming the stranger. He rests his heart there. He wrote about it to everyone in the New York Times. His faith is a serious faith, a commitment that gives him guidance for moving into the next moment. He will continue to welcome the stranger. He has faith that that is how we will transform our world. As Unitarian Universalists, we are asked, what do we have faith in? What is our commitment? What guides us? What do we rest our heart upon? One of the answers to that is love. Unitarian Universalists all over are grounded in love. It is one way that you can say our principles in one word. It is what we can rest our hearts upon. But we also ask everyone in our faith to verify their faith. We don't ask anyone to take it on blindly. We ask that you verify it and see if it works for you. So one of the things that I have faith in, that I rest my heart upon, is you. I have faith in all of your strengths and your passions. I have faith in your paths towards more nourishing, fulfilling lives and a more loving and just world. I have faith in us to get through hard times. When the pandemic began, my heart called out in the panic of a baby donkey separated from its mother. And you answered. And we have gotten through 2 years of pandemic, rarely seeing each other in person. And we are here, still together, still living out our faith that being together is good. Walking the path of life together is good. I have faith that we can get through conflict and pain, because I, over the years and several times recently, have been in hard conversations where there was pain and there was conflict, and have been impressed about how people stay in, listen, and are committed to finding the bigger love that holds us together. I have faith we can love each other and support one another in spiritual growth and a responsible search for truth and meaning. I have faith in you. It is where I rest my heart. We are living in uncertain times, and we need each other. We need a faith that helps us navigate and offer more love and more life and more justice in the world. And I have faith that we can keep doing this together. How can I keep from singing? We rise.
We remember this morning that we drink from wells we did not dig and rest on foundations that we did not lay. Wealth exists because of the generous spirit and commitment of all those who came before us, just as our future health depends on the dedication and commitment of those here now. And we have faith that as we give of our gifts, they will be multiplied in sustaining this foundation and all that comes after. While we consider what the gifts we've been giving, and we also consider what we are grateful for. As Betsy brings some musical joy into our presence, please consider the gifts that you have to offer our Wolf community, and just a note that our donation basket is currently in the foyer as you leave today. Thank you. Betsy. If you would please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let's be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Let us go forth in love, in faith that we are never alone. We are bound to the earth and to one another. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again. Did it. Yay. How many of you, that was the first time you saw that video? Yeah, Rick did that. Totally give him credit. I just smile every time I see it. It's beautiful. So, thanks, Rick. Thanks, everyone. So glad you're here. Real quick, we've got one announcement.
2 days from today, or if you count Sunday to Sunday, today is the 8th of March, and it is our second anniversary of our calling of our beautiful Reverend Tracy Springberry.